Real estate and sales success in just 5 minutes a day. Today on the Entrepreneur Hot Seat, I interview my friend Karen Briscoe about her new book, Real Estate Success in 5 Minutes a Day. The book contains a bunch of lessons from her career in real estate, but it's useful for anyone who is an entrepreneur or who works in sales, who is really just trying to commit to a process to improve their career, whether you're in real estate or not. In this interview, we talk about understanding and maximizing your strengths, the importance of making a commitment to a process, and how when you commit to certain actions, that propels you through those times when you have less motivation. We also talk about the idea of being future-oriented versus past-oriented and Karen's 4 P's of motivation. Enjoy my interview today with Karen Briscoe. Welcome to the Entrepreneur Hot Seat, where I talk to entrepreneurs and business people from all walks of life and all levels of success, from millionaires to the people who are just starting out, and everyone in between. My objective is not only to learn about their businesses and goals, but about their challenges and fears as well, all with the hopes of helping them and you find a pathway to success. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneur Hot Seat. I am joined today by my friend Karen Briscoe, who is a principal owner of the Huckabee Briscoe Conroy Group with Keller Williams Realty in McLean, Virginia, which has been recognized by the Wall Street Journal as one of the top 250 realtor teams in the United States. Since 1977, HBC Group has sold over 1,500 homes. And one of those reasons is because Karen is an expert on sales. In fact, she just wrote a new book called Real Estate Success in 5 Minutes a Day. I've got it right here in front of me. It's Secrets of a Top Agent Revealed, which includes a ton of great advice on sales and entrepreneurship, whether you're in real estate or not. So I highly recommend checking that out. Most importantly, Karen is a wife and a mother of 2 kids, Drew and Callie. So Karen, welcome to the Entrepreneur Hot Seat.
Thanks for having me. I think back to how we met, and here we are about 6 months later, and I'm delighted to be a part of your Entrepreneur Hot Seat.
Yeah, absolutely. The pleasure is mine. I'm excited to have you on. And we met about 6 months ago, eight months ago, like you said, at the Best Year Ever event in San Diego last December. That's put on by Hal Elrod and John Berghoff. Of course, anybody involved in the Miracle Morning community is familiar. And on the first day was Entrepreneur Day, and you and I were in a small group of, I think, 6 entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs, and just starting to talk about, I'm finishing this book, how am I going to get this out there? It was really interesting. And now, 7 months later, here we are, the book is published. I've got a copy in my hands. You sent it over a few weeks ago. It's beautiful. Flipping through it, really good stuff in there. And then I heard you on the Achieve Your Goals podcast the other day, which was just so cool. Talking about a lot of things that I think are interesting for entrepreneurs. So I'm excited to dig in. But, before we get into the topics from the book, I wanted to start with a little bit of your background. So if you wouldn't mind maybe sharing a little bit about your origin story and how you got to where you are today, Karen.
Well, I have been an entrepreneur in many fashions my whole life. So it's not surprising that this resonates with me. My father owned restaurants, and we as a family were all very involved in the restaurant business. And I, after college, went into commercial real estate. From there, got a graduate degree, married, had 2 children. My husband's career moved us up to the Washington, D.C. metro area. And when my children were young, I mostly was a mom at home. I did some things part-time and also did a lot of volunteer work and charity work. When I went back into real estate, when my kids reached an age where I felt comfortable with reentering the workforce, I went back into commercial real estate. And interestingly enough, I actually found it, part of the industry that I was in was actually at a tech company and handling their sales and engineering and warehouse offices. And I found it to be so boring. It was so repetitive and rote, and the lawyers did all the negotiating, and somebody recommended that I might be interested in residential real estate, which I had not ever officially done sales before. And so I stepped into it and immediately met with some success. And from there, was a productive single agent, joined a team. The person I joined the team with, she asked me to become her partner. And then she passed away a couple of years later. So I took over the business and have since taken on another business partner. And we have a team where we sell about this year, we're already at 50 million. So we could be on track to do 100 million. Last year, we did about 80 million in sales. With that, many people would ask me how I achieved high level of success.
Yeah.
And I had all these stories to share. I would, in training or coaching, I would share stories because people remember stories. And so I would use stories to illustrate points. And out of that also came a blog. So I would write on a weekly basis a blog, which reached a number of high level rankings and some real estate type platforms. And many people said to me, well, then now you need to write a book.
So that's right, next step.
Yes, that's the next step. So that's where I wrote the book and was recommended to talk to Hal Elrod, because Hal wrote this book called The Miracle Morning. And the right. way my book is designed, it's designed to be a daily reader. I wanted to create a platform. There's many real estate books available, and I wanted to do something that I felt would be more user-friendly, because the one thing about real estate agents, but many professionals, many salespeople, they claim they don't have enough time.
Not a lot of time, yeah.
Yeah, not enough time. So like, well, can you read 5 minutes a day? And everybody says they can read 5 minutes a day. So the idea is that it's set up as a daily reader, and every day you have one application for real estate business or personal life development and a takeaway. And I was recommended to talk to Hal Elrod about endorsing my book, because as you know, in the Miracle Morning program, reading is one of the keys to the savor.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yes. So that brings us to how we met, was through Hal Elrod.
That's right. Yeah. So you met Hal and ended up at his event in December, and I was there as well. And anyone who's been listening to the show for a while, they know I'm a super fan of Hal Elrod and the Miracle Morning. I practice every day, and it certainly made an impact for me. And cool that you ended up there. You know, the first thing I wanted to ask about, you mentioned that you joined an agency and a partner, and have another partnership now. And I read that in the beginning of your book, you said something that teams are very important to you. So I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about the importance of being on a team and how that's played a part in your success.
Well, success leaves clues, and there are many people that have achieved a high level of success. And I recognized that early on in my career and life. I felt like that there, if other people have achieved, then first emulate them or have them be mentors, and you'll likely to start at a higher level, which is what happens. People who go out on their own oftentimes spend a lot of energy and time trying to figure out basics that have been other people have already got systems or processes or techniques and strategies for. And so I was always a part of a team, and I like the idea of a team as well, because where one is stronger in another area, then oftentimes the other one can help with the in people that are follow the strengths finder want to focus on strengths and not weaknesses. And so if you bring together people with different strengths, then you have something even greater. And so the other benefit for me was demographically, the person I took the business over from had been in the business a number of years. So I bought into or came into a ongoing strong business. And then the person I partnered with is demographically the next generation from me. So she brings in every generation has their own strengths and nuances. And I find that what we can learn from both, we can learn wisdom from those that have gone before, but we can also learn a lot of times those from either the Generation Xers or the Millennials. Right. They are so progressive, and they're going to where the puck is going, if you were to use Wayne Gretzky's example. So they know where the market's going, and they're moving at a much faster pace. And to stay abreast and current with what's going on in trends, that's where I believe that as much as we can learn from the past, it's really the future that we're all living into. So I'm a very advocate of bringing in the next generation into the business.
Oh, that's great. And you mentioned StrengthFinder, and I like that you mentioned this idea of leveraging strengths in partnerships and in groups. And I have to say, I think I've mentioned this before, like I sometimes get annoyed. I facilitate workshops and get involved in different groups. And often I hear older generations always complaining about the younger generation, all these millennials, they don't know how to work or whatever. But instead of focusing on whatever negative things you might notice that are different, you're focusing on what strengths do they bring to the game that are different than yours, because every generation, every different culture, every different type of person brings different experiences and different strengths to everything they do, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I know you may be aware of Alyssa Dare Nelson and Maximize Your Strengths. She is Gallup Strengths Finder certified. And I was on her podcast, and it was really powerful to take my strengths and to go through my journey as a business person, entrepreneur, and see where those strengths played out. And one of the strengths that I have is that I can collaborate in that way with people and bring out it's called Maximizer, but bring out the best in people.
Oh, that's great. So when you got started basically, you know, much later in age or career, whatever, than a lot of people do. And so plenty of challenges that come with that. But, you know, what I read in your book is that you really committed to not only committed to being successful, but you committed to a process and committed to a lot of things. And I was wondering if you could talk about what are some of the things you did when you were starting out that really set you up for success later. And I think that, you know, the important thing here is that while you are doing it as a real estate agent, and there's a lot to be learned if you're in real estate, I think this message is related to entrepreneurs or anyone in sales in any type of industry, right?
Absolutely. In fact, these are principles of success that transcend many professions and fields. The idea to commit is that many people think that they're going to rely on motivation or they're going to rely on willpower, and those are finite, in a way, resources that often you don't feel like it. And so when you commit then to certain actions, then that propels you through those times where, you know, the motivation or the feeling to do it lags. And so there, for example, the Miracle Morning. So those people that commit to the Miracle Morning Savers, they decide to do it before they feel like it. Because I think that many people would say, I don't feel like getting up at 5:30 and doing those things. But once they do it and they get into the process of it, then they see the benefits of it, then they're more likely to stay with it. But the first is the commitment. And there's a concept called being future oriented. So people who are past oriented, they look at the past and they live in the past. And people who are present oriented, they're likely to be more wanting to do again what they feel like doing. But people who are future oriented recognize that their actions now have an impact and consequences in their future. So they're willing to do those things and to commit to them.
Yeah, that's cool. So what are some of those things that you committed to? I mean, I imagine you sat down and had a vision, an idea of where you wanted to go, but what were some of those commitments? You know, was it, you talked about number of touches and outreach and seeing houses and all the things that you had to do to build that successful practice in the beginning.
So entrepreneurs, salespeople, they need a lead or some source of business, right? So the committing to getting leads is the first act that most businesses and entrepreneurs are involved in. And so I call it commit to get leads. I did a training recently, and this young man in an ancillary industry came up to me afterwards. He goes, I didn't know I was supposed to commit. I think he thought he was going to do it when he felt like doing it or when he was motivated to doing it. And so he committed to doing it, and he contacted me a month or so later, and he says, my results are like four times just by deciding and committing to do it. So I recommend activity, what I call activity tracking, because you can, the challenge with time blocking and time is that it passes whether you do anything or not. But if you commit to a certain activities, and that is if you're committing to lead generation or to prospecting or business development, then commit to a number. And then you can track where the business is coming from and have a better understanding of what you need to do if you need to adjust that number. Again, time is, I find that many people, they'll say they're going to devote a certain amount of time and then they get distracted. And
oh yeah, it slips away. You say, I'm going to spend the next hour on, you know, outreach, but then you get a phone call and
an email, you know,
Facebook notification, something yes. comes up, right? And then you don't get it done. It's like, well, that hour passed. But when yes. you're actually tracking and committing to, I'm going to get 5 leads a day, then, you know, when you get to the end of that day and you haven't done it, you're falling behind. You need to go do it. And I've used that. And even when I haven't been as successful in sales, I know I've laid the foundation for the future because I was tracking that and putting the, you know, setting the number of leads and meetings out there every day that I needed to get down.
And like you said, it becomes a future-oriented process. So you're doing today what you need to do that will build business for the future. And entrepreneurs are very future-oriented people, because to be an entrepreneur is to live into the vision of what they do today will have an impact or results in the future later.
Yeah, great. So I know there's a lot of success principles in the book, and I want to get into a couple more of those. Before we do, I wanted to ask you, what are some of, or what's the biggest mistake that you made while you're trying to build your business, and what did you learn from that?
Oh my goodness. What is my biggest mistake? I would say in sales, and I don't know if I'd call this a mistake, but it seems to have the biggest impact, and that is taking things personally. Because it's a high rejection industry, and many sales professions are. And again, that's where the commitment, if you're committed to it, then you're going to stick through it even when you have these valleys or the challenging times, and to power through by continuing with the activities even when you're not seeing the results. But the taking it personally, because unlike the commercial real estate industry, which I have been in as well, commercial, it's of all business, but in residential real estate, it's very personal. So I would say absolutely. That's my, and I'm not the only one that has had that experience. So
yeah, just getting over those personal rejections or trying not to take things too personally and getting too emotionally involved in the rejections or the decisions that people are making, and rather just committing to that process that you've got to get a certain number of leads, set a certain number of appointments, and just keep that moving forward. And maybe even this idea that you read in some sales books and concepts that, you know, yes is comes from, you know, going through
no's?
A certain number of no's, right? So you make it a game of how many no's can you get before you, you know, each no gets you closer to a yes, that kind of thing. Makes it more palatable, I guess. So getting into the book, what are some of the other success principles? I know there's 365 days,
yes, lots.
But I know they're kind of organized into different categories. So what are some of the success principles in this book that you're really teaching for real estate agents or anybody in sales?
Well, in sales, so the commit to get leads, one of the ones that I use and apply in when I'm coaching other agents and any sales professional is the four P's of motivation. So they are push, pull, and pain, pleasure. So people are motivated by things that on the pain, pleasure spectrum, they're motivated to avoid pain and they're motivated to move towards pleasure. So when somebody's making a decision and they're going through some challenging aspects to it, which there's very few decisions that have that are just cut, you know, black and white, cut and dry. But even so, the challenging, say, for example, on our spectrum in pain would be divorce, death, debt reversal. And then on the pleasure side, even those, oftentimes you have to push through them. They seem positive, but in some ways they also have their own challenging aspects. And that is, say, for marriage, birth of a child, even a positive windfall economically or a new job. Those are pleasures, but to help people keep their motivation on what the focus is, sometimes they get stuck in the weeds, right? So you have to remind them, okay, what's the motivation for doing this? And you could, you know, look at this in other sales avenues as well, even if you're working with businesses, if you're selling a coaching program or whatever. I mean, the pain is the systems that aren't working, or the structures that aren't working in the organization, or the people that, you know, need coaching.
Yeah, business may be struggling, or people are just struggling with emotions, or just being overwhelmed and trying to, they have pain, or maybe they're trying to move towards a big goal or something that would bring them pleasure, right?
Yes. So you can apply that in other industries as well. And same with the push factors. Push factors are things that push you to do something. So it could be economic, or it could be negative things like a loss of job may push you to make changes that you hadn't planned on making. A pull are things that pull you towards circumstances that pull you towards doing something. So, you know, perhaps you could have a family situation that would be pulling you towards making a decision. So again, when you're helping people in their decision-making processes, oftentimes it's beneficial to bring them back to their motivation, their core motivation, because if they're stuck somewhere, then maybe this will help them untangle what's happening in their life and business and be a problem solver, because that's what entrepreneurs do and get paid, is they solve problems for people and they make a profit at it, right?
Right.
Nonprofits help people solve problems too, but they don't make a profit. But entrepreneurs and business people, by definition, are in the profit. So coaches and consulting firms and all that, right, are helping people solve.
Yeah, no, it's a good way of looking at it, even for real estate agents, right? You're helping people solve a problem. They need to get out of their house and into another house, you know, as a simplest form, right? And there may be a painful reason for that, like you said, divorce, death. There might be a pleasurable reason, you know, they've made more money and they want a bigger space, or they've had a baby. And there's things like that for every industry. And I think it's interesting, you know, I've worked in sales for a long time, and I know, at least for myself and maybe other people, that oftentimes you don't sit down and think, well, what are the true motivations for someone that would be, you know, making them willing to sit down and have a meeting with me, to buy from me? Is it, what is the pain that they would be avoiding? What solutions are we providing? What's the pleasure that, you know, they might be feeling, or that's might motivate them? You know, why would they buy something from me? So thinking about that push pull is interesting, really, for any type of industry. There's another topic I wanted to get into that you mentioned in the book, this idea of the optical illusion.
Yeah. So entrepreneurs oftentimes, and I use this illustration of the visual of the old woman and the young woman. I'm sure you've seen the optical illusion, where if you focus on one place and you see the young woman, and you focus on the other place and you see the older woman. Right. And the paradigm shift that I share with people is that both of them are there the entire time. So it's not a matter of the illustration changing. It's a matter of the focus changing. And when I do this with groups, I recently was speaking at a group of about 300 in Pennsylvania, and this was a phenomenon that I hadn't had happen before, but it was amazing how the people in the audience were helping each other to see it. And I was like, this is so powerful. So I use this as an example, because if you don't see it, then that's an opportunity to get somebody who either has some experience or has some, you know, maybe a coach or just somebody, a colleague, to help you see something you're not seeing, because if it may be right there in front of you and you just may not be looking in the right place in order to be able to see it. But my purpose for sharing this optical illusion is because entrepreneurs oftentimes are really good at their craft. They're good at what is their skill set. So if you're in sales, you are a good salesperson. If you're a dentist, you're a good dentist. Or if you're a lawyer, or a consultant, you're really good at those skills. And oftentimes what happens is they focus on that because they're successful at it, and they aren't putting enough attention on the working on the business. So they're spending so much time working in the business and actually selling houses, if you will, or seeing patients or visiting with clients, that they don't focus enough on the working on the business. So there's this book by Michael Gerber called The E-Myth. Have you heard of
it? I've heard of the book. I haven't read it yet.
Well, it's a tome. It's a big book. So, but the main concept is this fact, or that the concept of the entrepreneurial myth. So people become entrepreneurs because they want to be their own boss, and they want to, you know, they have an idea, or they have a skill that they're very good at, and so they go off and start their own business, and they are so deeply involved in that day-to-day operations or the technical aspects of the business that they don't take the time to step out and work on the business. And I use optical illusion as the illustration because they're both there at the same time, and you should be doing them both at the same time. It's not an either or it's not a, okay, today I'm only going to work on the business and tomorrow I'm going to work in the business. It should be a simultaneous process, and the people who really build and grow a business do that.
And for you, what does it mean to work on the business versus being in the business and you know, doing the day-to-day tasks?
So working in the business is actually working directly with buyers and sellers and signing contracts, negotiations, lead generation. That's the working in the business. Working on the business is a lot of it's personal and business development. So it's training, it's receiving coaching, it's networking with other professionals in my industry and outside of my industry. It's also when you go beyond being a sole practitioner and you're building a team. And so it's a lot of organizational development and team building. And so it's taking it, I mean, technically, if you're a sole practitioner, you're still a business owner. I mean, the IRS says you are, so you are. I mean, if you're making money, you're a business owner. If you're not making money, it's a hobby or a nonprofit. But if you're making money, you're a business owner, even if you don't consider yourself a business owner.
Yeah.
But once you go beyond the sole practitioner and you have team members, staff, employees, partners, then it takes this whole next level of business knowledge and acumen and skill. And I find that many people, and I'm sure you've seen as well, consulting, that they're good at their skill. They're good at the sales, and oftentimes mm-hmm. they're really good at it. And so they get promoted to manager, and they're like, oh, okay, well, you can manage this team. You're like, that's not the skill set that they're.
Yeah, most, you're good at sales, so now yeah. go manage salespeople.
Yes. So that is kind of the same thing of what happens a lot of times with entrepreneurs. They're really good at their skill, and they have perfected that. And so other people keep coming to them and they want to be a part of it. That next level is where a lot of entrepreneurs either, you know, make it to the next level. And many times they hit ceilings. And when you hit a ceiling, then it often takes getting outside of your comfort zone and outside of your normal sphere and learning from other people, and that just being a part of the Best Year Ever Blueprint and Quantum Leap Mastermind, oftentimes just getting out of sight your own profession, you'll see things that, you know, I say sometimes the people that are all in the same profession, we all just keep doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result.
Right. Just work harder.
Yeah. And sometimes if you go outside your industry, you may see things about your industry or about what somebody else is doing that you can apply. And that's a working on the business.
Yeah. So it's that idea of getting coaching or training or development and continuing to sharpen your skills and improve as a business owner, as a practitioner, whatever it is, instead of just working harder, like we said, you know, finding ways to learn from others, you know, whether it's coaching or consulting or just being around a group of peers that might be doing something even completely different, but sharing ideas that that could help. Speaking of coaching and consulting, another topic that you have in the book is this idea of consulting and converting to sell. And so I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit as well.
Yes. So what happens in many sales or businesses is they get a lead and then they need to take that lead and get it through the process. And so the process then results in, is a part of converting that lead to actually being a client or a customer and consulting that lead so that then they actually do the transaction. So in my business, it's they actually buy or sell a house. And so there's skills that are go along with the ability to move somebody through that process quickly. One of the ones that I shared with you is feel, felt, found. And it's a pretty standard sales technique. It actually works really well in a lot of applications, even in life, because people often will listen more to what you as a consultant will have to say if they actually feel like they've been heard. So, and they also, once they feel that you not only have heard them, but that you actually understand them and that you care. Zig Ziglar said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So feel, felt, found, it helps a sales professional or a person consulting to do that. So an example would be, you would say, I understand how you feel. In like, let's say if you're working with a seller and the feedback is coming back and not favorable about their house. So I can understand how you can feel that the feedback that we're hearing is discouraging. Then you want to move them to understand that what they're feeling, other people have felt the way before, because then they feel validated that what they're feeling is not, you know, people aren't just like selecting their house and saying their house is bad, or that what they're feeling is not valid. And so then you would say something to the effect of other sellers or other people have felt that way before. The found part of feel, felt, found helps them move to solution. So you can be empathetic with someone. They'll just stay in that, you know, loop of, okay, so I still feel this way, but we want to move them to solution because we're consulting them. And back to entrepreneurs get paid to help people solve problems. Just letting them, you know, have a pity party would not be of any benefit. So we had to move to solution. So then you say, what we have found is other sellers, when they are responsive to feedback and are responsive to the market, then we can make the changes necessary in order to get their home sold. They're more likely to listen once they feel like that you're on their side and that you've heard them. Many sales professionals try to talk people out of feeling a certain way. And that isn't beneficial, right?
Right.
So, and it works actually in other relationships. My husband, once I taught him feel, felt, found, we really went to a whole new level of communication. It was at about 25 years of marriage. So I'm going to give you a tip early in life.
Okay. I'm at 13 right now. So okay. I'm ready.
So the next time, you know, your wife says something, she goes, I'm really not, you know, I'm really feeling upset that this happened. Then you'll say, well, I can understand how you might feel upset about that. And I imagine other young moms might have felt that way before. And what other young moms have felt is, or found is this. And so you could maybe then move towards solution. I find that if they feel like you've heard, if you've heard what they have to say and that you're being empathetic, then most often they'll be ready to listen.
This is good advice for all the men out there who are so quick to jump to solutions when their wife is, you know, which is like a very typical gender separation, right? That women just want to be heard and men just want to solve.
Want to get to solution. Issues. And in sales, we want to get to solutions too, because that's how we get them converted to actually doing something. And so a sale happens. But if a sale doesn't happen, if the person's like going, "You're not listening to me. I don't think you know, are on my side. Why are you taking their side?" I've heard all these things from sellers or clients or customers.
Yeah. I'm just thinking back to a couple like sales conversations I've had where I've been on the buying side, you know, the customer side recently with a financial services provider. Kind of did a call for a friend, and the second call, this guy talked to me for almost an hour and I didn't feel heard, and I left feeling very negative about the conversation and that company, and I did not buy anything from them. And it's because I didn't feel heard.
You didn't feel heard. So sometimes you can also use thinking language, because some people are more thinking oriented than feeling oriented. So I can understand how you might think that way. Other people have thought that way before. You know, what we have found is when, you know, so if you have a more cerebral kind of person, you can use the thinking language. But feel felt found, most people are, if they're stuck, they're probably feeling like they're not being heard. That's what I find usually.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, this is something it's going to be very useful to me and probably a lot of people, just thinking about conversations. And really, like, at the core of it, the reminder is that if you're in any type of sales conversation, you need to start by listening to the situation that they're in and understanding what the desire or the problem is that the customer is trying to solve before you start jumping into your solution, especially if you're in any type of consultative services like I've been working in for the last 7 years. We had an issue just this last week where a prospect didn't feel heard, and she gave us feedback that she didn't want to do business with us as a result. It was tough feedback to hear, but a good learning experience. So,
well, and seek first to understand. I mean, that's a basic, you know, Stephen Covey principle. I have found, remembering this feel felt found, you're more likely to put it into application when you can remember it. And so the next time where you're maybe in a conversation or a situation and you are feeling like that other person is stuck, then stop and check in on the feelings and see if that helps move the process forward.
Okay, so the last thing I wanted to get into was this idea of success thinking and, you know, using activities and vision to help you find more success?
Well, many times, you know, people are good at the lead generation, and then they're good at that conversion, and then they actually can get out of that transactional loop of only being as good as their next lead and move forward with connecting to building and growing a business, which is what entrepreneurs seek to do, is to build things. But what will often happen is with the addition of success thinking activities and vision, then you're constantly moving forward. Many times people will get either fixated or stuck in a certain place, and success thinking activities and vision will help move them to the next level. There's always the market and the world is moving at such a fast pace that there is really a need to be proactive. And you can see where businesses that didn't stay current, they thought that where they were was always going to be, you know, viable. You know, Kodak is an example. The railroads are an example. IBM. There are lots of examples of companies where they thought that they were too big to fail. And so the success thinking activities and vision takes the entrepreneur and helps them to recognize those things that they can do that will help them be an ongoing sustainable enterprise that's moving with the market or moving with the demands of the future.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the future, I'm curious, you've got this book out now, you've been, you know, been building your real estate business, selling tons of houses. What is the future for Karen Briscoe and your company. Do you have a vision for where all of this is going? I remember a little bit from when we talked before, but.
Well, several. The one that you and I talked about was the idea of, so real estate success in 5 minutes a day is the platform that I use because that's my industry and I know real estate. But success in 5 minutes a day can be applied to so many areas of life and business. And there are examples of this where Hal Elrod with Miracle Morning. So there's a number of Miracle Morning concepts. You have the Miracle Morning for real estate professionals and writers and entrepreneurs, and there's one for parents and families. Mm-hmm. If you look at other genres, the Dummy series, there's actually 250 concepts under that and 250 Chicken Soup for the Soul concepts. So one direction for success in 5 minutes a day will be to seek those people who want to take their industry or profession and build a concept around it. So that's one thing. And then I'm so thrilled to be on your podcast. So I can announce here, we will be launching a podcast.
Oh, cool.
On success in 5 minutes a day.
Okay.
And it will have a platform of following the 5 minute success principles of commit to get leads, convert and consult to sell, connect, build, and grow, and success thinking activities and vision, where I'll interview people and learn their best tips and takeaways and strategies on how they achieve success at a high level.
Awesome. Can I assume these will be 5 minute
yes,
segments? Well, 5 minute interviews.
And so each topic, the ideas we'll have, each topic will have about 5 minutes, and the ideas that they're supposed to be really memorable, sticky, quick, and applicable so that you could take away, get into action. And as you can, you know, a couple of the things that we talked about today, you've already said you found a couple of ways that you can put them into action and do business and life. And that's the idea. That's the concept.
Beautiful. Karen, this is awesome. I'm excited for where all of this might be going. I'm excited for the new podcast. Glad to have the book. For anybody listening that wants to get the book, find out more about you and your business, maybe get involved in success in 5 minutes a day, where do they go and how do they find out more?
Well, we have a website, 5 minute success. It's the number 5. You also can go to Facebook. There's a group, the number 5 minute success. And then there's a page also on purchasing the book. Amazon is your best source, but if you want to buy it in bulk, just contact me directly. And I would love to continue the conversation because helping people achieve success at a higher level in their business and life is my calling, I've discovered.
I love that. I love that. I think we share a passion there of helping people. And that's one of the big reasons why I started this podcast to try to connect with more people and help people. So, and I hope that this was helpful for those who are listening. So Karen, thanks so much for coming on the Entrepreneur Hot Seat. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Entrepreneur Hot Seat. You can find more information at entrepreneurhotseat.com or my personal website, andystorch.com. Please don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. And if you have any questions or comments, or if you are looking for ways to take your life and business to the next level, you can send me an email to andy@andystorch.com. Take care.